Villainous Beats.
Every Other Wednesday. Welcome to Every Other Wednesday, a bi-weekly podcast with me, Dylan Bickers, and my good friend, Devin Neveratton. This week, if you've been listening to our most recent episodes, much like the album by The Long Winters, well, it's a departure.
Talking about all of the gigaflops and teraflops and whatever, and all of the details. So that's going to be a thing. They might even be announcing the new Xbox right now. I don't know. But those things are going to be coming soon-ish, which is crazy because I feel like I just got my PS4, but whatever. And then have you heard about this Google Stadia thing?
No, I have not. As I mentioned, my gaming related media consumption is non-existent, so
you actually might be really into this, depending on how much PC gaming you do. But I mean, you said do you have a Switch or
I do.
Okay. Because I didn't know if you were one of those people who was like, because I know you sold a console, so I didn't know if you got one back. What Google Stadia is basically cloud gaming. Like, so where they'll set up various computers in a server room, and you will connect to those, and your controller will connect to that computer, and you'll basically stream the game.
Oh, okay.
They've been talking about how, they had a demo with Assassin's Creed, whatever the Greek one was.
Probably Odyssey.
Odyssey, yes. So they had a demo with Odyssey, and people were really excited for it. They really liked it. And so I'm going to actually pop up a details page because I don't want to be talking out of my ass.
Nice.
Yeah, like a professional podcaster. Oh, shit, this is English, so it has pounds prices on it. Come up, article. There we go. They're talking about how Stadia base, like the base gaming model, is going to be able to run 1080p, 60 frames a second, which is fucking awesome, and it all deals with basically how fast your computer can render, and you know how fast it can respond, because it's all like most of the strain is on the computer, like in the computer tower or whatever. Computer towers, servers, floppies.
Things.
It's on those ones. Yeah, it's on their computer. So, ideally, you don't have to buy a gaming rig in order to play a professional looking, professional sounding, professional like a playing game. Mm-hmm. So that could be pretty cool. If it catches on. I know Baldur's Gate 3 is going to be on it.
Nice.
Which they announced with in the Stadia conference. And I'm excited for that because Baldur's Gate hasn't been out for a bit, like 13 years. So Founders Edition is going to be $130 with a controller, Chromecast Ultra, 3-month subscription, and your first dibs on your Stadia name. Oh, shit. and then you can buy the base one and just go and buy any game on Stadia, basically, and it'll just play out of your Chrome browser, which is cool. And then Stadia Pro is like a subscription for 4K, which you can pay $10 a month for.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, basically, I don't know. It's a weird, like, futuristic, like, maybe it'll catch on, like Netflix streaming. Maybe it'll be one of those things where in 5 to 10 years, everybody will be doing it. Or maybe it'll just be a fad. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I had to say about that.
Nice. Video games.
Boom. Oh, should we call back to our last two guest episodes? I haven't been on a microphone in a month.
Woo!
Yeah. Let's see here.
Because we both have things about podcasts that Max Temkin, official friend of the show, official, he recommended, and then I was going to talk about that Dr. Don thing.
About
last episode.
Gotcha.
About
gotcha.
How our industries are kind of similar, mm-hmm. in a weird way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Our last two episodes were awesome. We had Max Temkin, who's a kind of a podcasting hero of mine. So is Dr. Don. So it was really awesome having the opportunity to record with those guys and get some, especially the episode with Max. It was like basically an episode of recommendations, and that was just fucking awesome.
Trying to avoid superlatives.
Yes. I was gonna say I'll include a link in the show notes, but if you're listening to this episode, you fucking know where to find it.
Right.
So let's see here. The what else? And then Dr. Don had a it wasn't really a recommendation, but I took it as one. I wound up eating a pocket sandwich, and it was it was just about as disappointing as I thought.
Where'd you get a pocket sandwich?
So in the show notes, he actually sent me a link to a place where you can buy them online, and so that was an experience I had.
I was gonna ask, who are the people that buy the pocket sandwich? But you are the person that buys the pocket sandwich. So
I am the one who knocks.
I am the one who buys pocket sandwiches.
And so it was horrid and not good. But
was it a Hot Pocket experience? Or?
It was not. I don't like Hot Pockets to begin with.
Okay.
That actually brings up an important question as to whether or not a Hot Pocket is ravioli, and it's a Pop Tart ravioli. And
yeah.
Is it just an extension of the sweet and the savory
versions?
Also, what's a pierogi? Like, why is that not a ravioli? I'm confused.
Oh my god. I'm hungry right now. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
Pierogies are good.
But yeah.
My dog is going crazy. All right. Yeah. So a pocket sandwich, is an MRE, right?
It is a portion of an MRE.
Okay.
It's so yeah, basically it's designed to like be inhospitable to foodborne pathogens.
Yeah.
And
to all humans eating it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There was always a joke like it in BMT where because there's this for me it was the sixth week of training. It was called Beast Week, where you go through a mock deployment.
Uh-huh.
So we had that's when we first like ate MREs, and the joke was that obviously MREs make you constipated.
Mm-hmm.
But something that the MTIs would tell us to fuck with us because we didn't know any better was that the gum in the MREs, because they know it's like it makes you constipated, the gum is actually a laxative. And so basically
yeah.
We all went around chewing gum believing that we were actually going to defecate, finally, it's been 6 weeks. I have not used the bathroom in 6 weeks. I'm getting concerned. But but yeah. MREs are just fucking awful.
I mean, did you ever, you never had to, like, you never needed to eat the MRE for active deployment, right? Like a,
well, if you
actively in like a, I mean, you needed to eat an MRE for active professional situations, right? But
yes, but no, I was not deployed. Right. I was put up for two deployments, both of which got canceled, and I was very pissed. I really wanted to deploy. Mm-hmm. First deployment was supposed to be to Bagram, to Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
Deployment got canceled. Second deployment was supposed to be to UAE, and wow, that would have been fucking lit, but
yeah, it would've.
That one got canceled as well. But yeah. C'est la vie.
C'est la vie. So you're talking about the Dr. Don thing. I was like, woof. I'm not up today, you know?
No, I feel that. I feel that. I'm kind of in the same headspace.
Yeah, I got like 5 hours of sleep.
Oof.
Oof, my dude. Oof. The man called oof.
I'm straight up not having a good time, bro.
I was going to talk about how... Dr. Don said something on the last episode where he kind of, because you were talking about what I do, which is making sure that, so I'm on the chemical test side of chemical physical test side of a plant that distributes cosmetic products.
Mm-hmm.
And then his side is more of the microbio side of figuring out if those products are like how hospitable those products are to a microbiome.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what's the shelf stability and all that. But I mean, it's very, very important in our business that we, you know, obviously not send a tainted product out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at any point in the, because we, it's a very, I don't know if capitalist business, because all businesses are capitalist businesses,
mm-hmm.
A very supply, driven business where you don't know where you're getting your products from,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, we have to test all of the chemicals, make sure all of those are good, that they're not showing any, like, most of the chemicals would not be showing signs of biological growth, just because it's hard to grow anything in them. But there are some that we send to the lab and have them look at and make sure we have, you know, have to make sure that, you know, nothing smells off on them, because that could be a sign of deterioration, rotting,
mm-hmm.
You know, too much water, throw off the product, stuff mm-hmm. like that. But what I was really interested in was it's kind of a one-to-one parallel between water supply.
Mm-hmm.
In our plant, we have almost 30 water ports,
mm-hmm.
and we have to test those every week,
mm-hmm.
all of them.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we do that is because the water can get different chemicals if it stands too long in the tank. It can mm-hmm. get to minerally, or, you know, if the water treatment plant isn't working correctly mm-hmm. to fix the water for us, then we could have a problem with contamination, because it stands in a tank before mm-hmm. we use it, just so we have enough water, so we don't have to keep on refilling and keep on waiting for water to come in. And mm-hmm. that's basically the same system that industrial food uses,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you have a automatically filling tank, mm-hmm. and you need to, like, there are more regulations around food, obviously, mm-hmm. but you need to have somebody there monitoring and making sure that the water is safe. And yeah, it's just really fascinating because, like, you don't think about it, but like when somebody's preparing your food, like, more often than not, they're on top of a scaffolding, like over a 10,000 pound tank, pouring water in through an industrial tube. Mm-hmm. Like the means of production, the production of food in this country is crazy. Mm-hmm. And the modern production of food is just bananas of how much stuff we can get done, and how big of batches we can do. You know, I've never been in a food production facility, but mm-hmm. You know, they don't just sell the tanks that we use, because we use up to 10,000 pound tanks. They don't mm-hmm. just sell those for cosmetics. They sell their food grade. Like, they sell those for, and that's the other thing, is that all our chemicals have to be food grade, because, you know, what happens if some chemicals start leaching into the body or mm-hmm. onto the skin? Mm-hmm. Like we'd hope it would with lotions and creams.
Yeah.
What happens if a kid or an animal ingests the product?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I was going to talk about is I read a super awesome article the other day, because my dad is actually getting involved in cosmetics as well. My dad's a chemical sales manager.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of gets involved in different kinds of industries that need chemicals. But there was a article in one of the magazines, one of the industry magazines he brought home, talking about microbiomes and how the what we do right now in cosmetics is not working not working for your microbiome, not working mm-hmm. for the good bacteria that is on your skin. Mm-hmm. More often than not, you're getting shampoo, you're getting conditioner, you're getting lotions and creams that are just killing off all of the bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's completely clean substance. You know, it dries and that's it. Like, there's no room for bacterial growth in there, because, like, the common sense for a long time and still is that if there's any bacteria on there, it's going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are systems in place, people doing microbiome and biological experiments, trying to figure out what kinds of conditions they can make, and what kinds of things we can leave behind after the dissipation of those products to promote good bacterial growth.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a weird subject in itself, because, like, you talk to the layman about bacterial growth and they'll say, I don't want any of that shit on me.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, but you need it. No pun intended.
Yeah. So that's my two cents about that. And I really look forward to talking to Dr. Don sometime on a future episode.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Could be really cool.
Absolutely. And we'd love to have him back. Let's see. What else? What did I have?
We're going to talk about books a lot, but as far as, like, to go to the next episode, the Max episode.
Oh,
if you
want
to talk about, if you listened to two podcasts that you recommended, right?
Yes. Actually, I listened to quite a few podcasts he recommended.
Nice.
I didn't listen to the one as much, which was Citations Needed. And I'll reiterate the importance of citations, plural, needed, because needed. Apparently I have not found this out for myself, but Max did the research on his end and discovered that Citation Needed is an alt-right podcast.
Yep.
And we don't need that Nazi shit in here.
My facts don't care about your feelings, Dylan.
Debate me, Ben Shapiro cries as he dreams about AOC's feet.
You know, if like the seaboard was like flooding, you'd just sell your house and move, right?
Just one question. Sell it to who?
Sell it to who? I watched that whole video. It was really good.
That was a really good fucking video. But yeah, good. I did listen to a few of the podcasts that were recommended by Max on episode 21 of this show. And so I listened to Public Official A about the investigation of Rod Blagojevich. Yeah. And leading up to the arrest, his time in prison, and his wife basically trying to petition the president of the United States to pardon him by playing to his kind of paranoia about the fact that...
About Democrats?
No, about how... the establishment and like the FBI are against him and that sort of thing, and the same people who prosecuted and investigated Blagojevich, Rob Mueller, let's see here, what the fuck's his name, the guy that from the FBI that Trump fired, James Comey, and those people were in the same people who investigated and prosecuted Rod Blagojevich. So that's
Blagojevich.
It was buck wild. Also, just hearing about Rod's governing style, the fact that he worked from home mostly, and he was considered by a lot of people to be kind of like an absentee governor.
Really?
Yeah. Although, like,
think about it, Illinois politicians being really, really shitty politicians.
But he got a lot of like really good shit passed, like free free bus rides, free healthcare for minors. There's more. They're not occurring to me up at the top of my head, but like they have them, they have Rod on some of the tapes talking about like I gave your grandma a free fucking bus pass, I gave your kids free fucking vaccines and free medications so they don't fucking bankrupt you, and you give me this shit, I have 13% approval rating, fuck you, fuck all of you. And I was like, damn, dog. But it, I will say, like, about the podcast as a whole, and this may or may not say something about me personally, but I don't know. I found Blagojevich to be kind of like, I don't know. I felt some empathy for him because, like, he was he did some good things, but he also was. Like going to potentially he was going to give the Senate seat to Jesse Jackson for a large monetary donation.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's
I didn't know Jesse Jackson was on his short list.
Yeah, it was between Jesse Jackson and I think Kelsey Judge.
Okay.
Now so Jackson would have been campaign donations. Judge would have been the route to go that could set him up for more political power, because Judge was the daughter of, and I can't remember his name, but he was big in not just Illinois but like national politics and could have set him up for Senate or presidency, which was the track that Blagojevich was trying to go down, but then all of a sudden this other representative from Illinois, the state senator Barack Obama, comes on the scene, and Rod essentially feels slighted, feels like his track has been stolen by President Obama, and so it was a buck wild ride, but it was definitely worth the listen. And then I also listened to all of Against the Rules, which was wonderful, with Michael Lewis.
Yeah, you said that I buried the lead on that.
Yeah, in our episode with Max, you did kind of like bury the lead a little bit. It is about referees and referees in American culture.
Right.
But I think what you were like, how you described it was like how people like their refs and. People get mad at the refs because they like love superstars and that sort of thing. And to be honest, the one episode I didn't listen to was actually the first episode. Yeah. Because I don't care about sports, but, like every other episode was like absolutely gripping and wonderful. And
I think you're right about that. Yeah.
The
Baby Judge School.
Oh my God.
Was a good one.
Yes. And then of course I loved the last episode with, I think it was Malcolm Gladwell, right?
I don't know if I listened to that actually.
I think it was either Malcolm Gladwell. Yeah, it was Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, it was Malcolm Gladwell at 92Y. We can have things come together because I just subscribed to 92Y on YouTube.
Hell yeah. I actually, as a result of Public Official A, I wound up subscribing to the WBEZ Chicago's newsletter.
Nice.
So I get that every day in my inbox, and that's super good. let's see. I'm also currently reading the new book by Cory Doctorow, which is... Radicalized.
Right.
I'm still on the first story, Unauthorized Bread, which is very good, very funny.
Unauthorized Bread.
Kind of, I don't want to give spoilers, but it's not just, so it's more than about hacking a toaster.
I was going to say, that's about a smart toaster, right?
So,
a short story about a smart toaster.
It's a short story about, a woman and the people she lives with in like subsidized housing when and they start hacking their appliances because the tech companies that owe them go under, and then there's no support for the appliance anymore, and so they stop working. And so this woman gets into the jailbreak culture and starts with her toaster and then jailbreaks her dishwasher and then like goes on, and it's a great read so far. And it's it touches very heavily on the life of asylum seekers and refugees and that sort of thing, because the main character Salima is a refugee seeking asylum in the U.S. and there's a part where it flashes back to her time in the camp and then the temporary place that she had to go to after she was in the camp. And I don't want to spoil it because it's an amazing read and you should absolutely pick up a copy. But this was the first book by Cory Doctorow that I actually started reading, and he has just such a great humorous voice, and he is right on the money with kind of like near fiction or it's not Stranger like cyberpunk fiction. Like near future, like you could definitely see this happening. And I think if I remember something Max said on Dubai Friday, he has actually called some shit that's happened in the past. I wish I knew what that shit was so I could cite it as an example, but alas, I cannot. Oh shit, dog! That reminds me.
Yep.
Alas.
Alas.
So, I saw this great tweet the other day that was Shakespeare, but every term or every use of alas is replaced with aw shit.
That's fucking awesome.
Aw shit, poor Yorick. Oh, there's such a good one. I'm gonna find this real quick because I love it so much. Okay.
Yeah, you're talking about like the near future episodes of Black Mirror, or what I come to that show for.
Yes. Have you started watching the new season?
I haven't yet.
Oh, dude, the first episode will fuck you up. It'll fuck you right up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to talk about the, what's that episode where he has a camera in his contact lenses?
I can't remember. But I do know what you're talking about.
Like, that is definitely a futuristic thing that we are going to have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's just going to be like, what are the ethical concerns about, like, what you can and cannot record?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're like for a safety reason,
mm-hmm.
like, and you wanted that that technology,
mm-hmm.
go for it. But like, then the other thing is like, can the government hack, or like, can a system hack into my cameras? And are we just walking cameras for
mm-hmm.
Surveillance state? Like, is that a concern to have?
And also, actors, I think that would also be a concern,
right.
Because there are these things that mostly the military uses, but they're also used by like the federal government. It's called a SCIF, which the word or the acronym is eluding me. The definition of the acronym is eluding me. But a SCIF essentially is a room that you discuss classified information in, mm-hmm. and you're not allowed to bring any tech inside. So you're not allowed to have your phone. If you have an Apple Watch like I do, you can't bring any of that shit inside. I actually do remember there was one time when I very methodically ensured that both my phone, my tablet, and my Apple Watch were all outside the SCIF,
uh-huh.
went into the SCIF because I was giving a deployment medicine briefing,
uh-huh.
and we were discussing classified information, which I think it was just like it was only secret because that was as far as my clearance went.
Right.
So I'm about to give this brief, and I hit my map pocket, like on the side of my right leg, and I
uh-huh.
feel like a little bulge, and I'm like, what the fuck? Oh shit, I have the on-call phone. Oh no. So that's a story. That one time I had a phone that I shouldn't have had in the SCIF.
Phones in places where they shouldn't be.
Yeah, it's just like that meme, David Tennant in places he shouldn't be. Oh, man.
Did I share that with you?
No, I think
or did we find that it's completely separately?
I think we found that completely separately.
That's
But, yeah. God, what was I talking about? SCIFs.
SCIFs.
So I think that would be a concern because, like, how would you be able to tell, or how do it know that?
How do it know? How do people know?
Yeah.
Like, is there a way to mask, like even if there was a security system, it's like, oh, well, you know, you have a light on your head that
mm-hmm.
when it turns green, you're recording, and when it turns red, you're not. Like, you could hack into that too. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's not really and then that episode itself is all about it doesn't really dive into that. It dives into ethical situations when it comes to relationships.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. Yeah,
and like how much breaching, like how much can should we be able to share, and like obviously that show, he gets into some problematic area at the end, but
mm-hmm.
and the ending is real good.
Crikey, I wonder what will happen if my toaster could listen to me doing the boinky boink.
I mean, that is our future. That is our overlord's futures. Just before we leave the recommendation cast, I did listen to Citations Needed last night while I was at work, because
mm-hmm.
I work nights. Mm-hmm. And I listened to two episodes last night. One was episode 76, the anti-war rebranding of Roads and Power and the moral hazard of faux mea culpas. And it's all about former Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes and former U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Samantha Powers, mm-hmm. and how they have gone from being war hawks, because, you know, like the popular consensus is that, okay, Democrats are softer on war and Republicans are harder on war, but it's really more Republicans just don't hide it mm-hmm. well, and Democrats try to hide it behind a speech. So they're talking about how when they were in the Obama administration, these guys were hawks for war, and very much in favor to selling weapons to Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. And keeping Israel as a a shining star in the Middle East. Like, mm-hmm. these are the people, and like our strategy hasn't really changed from that. These are the people that ignored the war in Yemen, now that Trump is president, they completely flip their script because now they don't have a job, and they want to basically sell themselves to whoever is going to run under the Democratic banner, mm-hmm. So they can be in their campaign and be in their cabinet.
Yeah.
And it's just it just feels terrible. Like, mm-hmm. it's like this is like, obviously, I think we're both pretty, we don't work in politics, but we know enough about politics to know, like, this is kind of, this is how the world works. Like, this is what people do,
mm-hmm.
but it's just like to hear it and to like see examples of it in real life. It's like, well, yeah, you know, we only care about black and brown people that aren't us if
they're voting.
Republicans are in office and we're not. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fucking, it's terrible. So that one got me super depressed, but I really liked it because, like, they didn't, like, I kind of try to avoid political talk podcasts and radio shows because I don't want like a super biased opinion. Mm-hmm. And this one is very much like, this is like the straight like liberal opinion. Like, these mm-hmm. guys, if they were trying to practice actual liberalism, they're not doing a really good job about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being very fake about what they do support and what they don't.
Yeah, I mean, fucking, like, just, I think just this past Friday when it was, like, when it came out that Biden was opposed to, like, opening up, rights for bodily autonomy on a federal mm-hmm. level.
Mm-hmm.
He immediately like took a huge back step on there. It was like, oh no, I support it now. It's like, right. Dude, it's literally been less than like 24 hours since it came out that you're opposed to this.
Uh-huh.
Shut the fuck up. Fuck Joe Biden. I fucking hate him so much.
He's against bodily autonomy because then, you know, he wouldn't be able to give his good massages.
His shoulder touches? Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Jesus. And so I fucking hate Joe Biden. He's not liberal. He's a fucking creep.
Is that establishment Democrat. Like, this is a good podcast to listen to if you don't really know what you're going to do mm-hmm. come primary time.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh yeah, establishment Democrats are basically establishment Republicans when it comes to war. Like,
when it comes to everything. It's like, So the right keeps moving further and further right, further and further towards fascism, and the moderate Democrat keeps like making concessions and also moving further and further to the right. It's basically Republican light, which is Republican fucking stupid. Light. But title. It's super upsetting. And now presidential hopeful, the one I hope gets the DNC nomination is Bernie. I want Bernie to win because he has a plan. He has a bill ready for universal health care. He's had it for decades that he's been constantly updating and working on and like improving. He has like name recognition. He has a ton of support, but he's just getting undercut by these fucking backbiting. There was a headline for an article I didn't read. Go figure. called I think it was from Politico, which I also have issues with. Fuck Politico, but anyway, it was a good title for an article I didn't read, which was 2020 Democratic hopefuls have already built a circular firing squad, and it's like, God, everything is so fucked right now. Like, fuck Kamala Harris because. Fuck cops and keeping people in prison for their labor. Just fuck her.
Yep.
Someone asked, like, how do you, like, what's the right way to pronounce Pete Buttigieg? And I say, well, the best way to pronounce it is this feels like 2008 Obama energy, so I'm going to hold on to that. it's like, Jesus, guys. Like,
I thought Beto was 2008 Obama energy.
That like
he does the real no Dylan, you don't understand, he does the real cuff thing and he stands on tables.
He does. He stands on anything.
He stands on a lot of tables. He's friends with the Rage Against the Machine guys. You know who also likes Rage Against the Machine?
Who?
Paul Ryan.
Fuck Paul Ryan.
Fuck Paul Ryan. That's a consensus. Fuck Paul Ryan could be a good title.
But yeah. I don't know.
I knew we would fall down this hole, but
it's been a while since we've talked. It's been a while since we've talked politics. It's overdue.
It was a little overdue. How do you feel about Theresa May?
I fuck Theresa May as well. Just I'm going off. Fuck Theresa May. I'm popping off on
the media that was like, you can't be happy about this woman crying on TV. Fuck that.
Yeah, no. Fuck no. Her. Fuck the fact that she was crying. She wasn't crying when she was slashing benefits for workers. She wasn't crying when people were literally getting kicked out of their homes because they could no longer afford to live there because of wage stagnation and unemployment and losing their jobs. Fuck
She's
Theresa
not crying
May.
Over Brexit. It's not going to affect her mind.
Yeah, no. Like, so fuck Theresa May.
Yeah. And then so that would probably be a good episode for you to listen to if you like. It's super interesting. The other one is that I listened to was called, it was episode 77, Frugality Fables and the Poor Shaming Grift of Financial Advice Journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about how these sites, financial sites, I'm trying to actually say one financial site, but I don't watch financial reports, so whatever.
Like Fast Company?
CNBC, yeah. Yes. But financial sites make it, like, they are in the business of partnering with banks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these banks are in the business of trying to get you to use their tools, investment tools, if they work or not, doesn't matter to them. They're making money off of them.
Exactly.
So what the episode is talking about is how we get like the media jumps on these headlines like how this millennial saved $1 million by age 30. A millennial
their parent had
$100,000 with this simple habit. And yeah, when you go into those
banks, know, hate him. See what he did to fuck, right? The bourgeoisie.
Yeah. And when you go into those, when you actually like look at those stories, and he doesn't really take much research, you find out that most of the people that are in these stories are white, came from a background of privilege,
mm-hmm.
have resources that they use to get out of college debt free,
mm-hmm.
You know, are professionals or have a professional degree, and or have made investments of some sort,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
like there is, it's not like the fact that they were a millennial.
Yeah,
that's not the reason why they're making money or have money, you know, like it's complete bullshit. And then, like, this goes back to the poor shaming of mm-hmm. All of these like financial, like the media in general, really.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, if you didn't have your avocado toast or if you didn't have your Starbucks coffee, you know, you could be a millionaire by now.
Yeah.
No,
I couldn't.
What? Like, you are living on a totally separate planet, and you just mm-hmm. want to sell investment tools mm-hmm. to a bunch of people that will frankly buy them because now they feel bad about themselves and they think that buying the investment tools is the right, sound financial way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, they have a lot of discussion about how. You know, the kinds of like redlining, the kinds of financial discrimination mm-hmm. that minority groups have felt in the past, mm-hmm. and how generationally we've never overcome that as a society. We've mm-hmm. never given reparations or mm-hmm. helped people that weren't fortunate enough to grow up in stable homes with good schools. Like, we've never done that for people.
Yeah.
We've always failed those people, and yeah. we've always given money to the people who already have money. And so this kind of they kind of basically, and I like the show a lot too, because they always have a expert on mm-hmm. at the end to kind of give their opinions and kind of close up the subject. And it's just a really fascinating show, and so thanks, Max, for talking about that.
Because hell yeah,
it's real good.
And I think in the show notes for the episode 21 that we had with Max, we have links to all of his recommendations in those show notes. I also have I put up something on my blog that's basically just a list of all the recommendations, and there are hyperlinks to go to those things directly, whether they're books or podcasts, what have you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Max came through with some really great, really great recommendations.
Nice.
Also, I do have a little bit of a digga-digga follow-up on that. I am very, very pleased that we did that. I personally, and we did not get put on blast, because I actually recently saw a whatchamacallit. So Max recently tweeted a like a screenshot, obviously with like the identifying information, redacted, but it was an email that someone sent him to try and get him to be a guest on his podcast. And it was long. It uh-huh. was very overly enthusiastic.
Uh-huh.
And hang on. Dig Dug, follow up. I need to get this pulled up. Okay, hang on. Let's see.
Follow up.
Okay, let's see here. Media. Ah, here we go. All right. Max, what's up, my man? My name's Blank, and I am the host of an amazing show that's going to single-handedly influence the popularity of entrepreneurship. Whoa. To make this short, I want you on the show. I want you on the show is in all caps.
I want preceded you on the show.
By 2 exclamation points.
What up, my dude?
So he goes into who he's had on the podcast, or they. I don't know their gender or how they identify. I don't know their pronouns. But they go into list. I've got an edited / finished episode with Josh York of Gym Guys and scheduled interviews with Joel Clark of Kodiak Cakes, Paul Clifford of Simplifile, Rand Fishkin of Moz, and Sid Kromenhoek of Zinch. And
these sound like very Silicon Valley names right here.
The tweet from Max going along with this email that he posted was, I can't believe they got the guy from Zinch. And so I am very happy that we didn't get put on blast, and that Max was super cool and an awesome guest. And also because I did send him a follow-up email, which I'm embarrassed about. So what do you know, like if you were to imagine, like, if you have some cocktails one night and you you'd normally, like, what, text an ex-girlfriend or something like that?
No, I would not, because okay. I'm in a nice stable relationship now, so
I'm not. So that's what
I hope I wouldn't.
That's what average people would do. Like,
that's what average people do. Yeah.
Let me text my ex-girlfriends. It seems like a good idea right now.
No, what I do when I get drunk is punch a jukebox. That's a different story.
That's some very fonds. So what I did, my dumbass, fired off an email to Max Temkin. Basically asking for him to be my creative mentor. And I'm like,
oh shit, dude.
Like, in hindsight, I'm like, bud, A, that's just weird. And B, like, he has, like, so much shit going on in his life. Why the fuck are you trying to, like, give him your emotional labor to? Like, what the fuck?
It's brave of you to admit that on the podcast, though.
Yeah, that's my official on-air apology to Max Temkin. sorry for emailing you.
Very quickly, I think I should mention, I read 4 books, mostly audibled them,
mm-hmm.
4 books in 6 days.
Damn, dog.
Yeah, fucking what, man? Fucking get at me, bro.
That's some big Hermione Granger energy.
It is. So, the books were A Dance with Dragons, Song of Ice and Fire 5,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty good. I feel like it could have been a lot better. I feel like it could have been a lot better if you cut it down.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 72 chapters or something like that.
It's, well, you know what you did wrong.
1,125 pages.
You know what you did wrong, though, right? You didn't read the book first.
I read it wrong.
You're not enjoying the content.
I'm not enjoying it right. So yeah, no. I still think the first the second and third book of that series are better.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a bunch of times in 5 where I'm mm-hmm. like, these characters suck. They're not in any like fault with the writing, even though there are some terrible writing in it, but
damn.
I mean, everybody has,
he's popping off.
You're going to fill out a manuscript that's over 1,000 pages. You're going to have some bad phrases. Okay.
I disagree. I think that you just called out George R.R. Martin as a shit writer.
George R. Martin.
George
even though that man is American and does not have an accent. So yeah, no, I overall enjoy it, and I enjoyed the series, and I enjoy the TV show overall too. At me, bro. Like,
how'd you feel about the end?
The last season was not as good as it could have been.
Yep.
I would give like three and a half stars to the last season.
3.5 out of 10.
Out of 5. Out of 10. 3.5. Like, it got to plot points that I wanted it to get to, but there were just a lot of hand waving and bad plot explanations.
Yeah. Apparently Arya isn't going to get her Dora the Explorer spinoff episode. Spinoff show.
We're going to have to get them on change.org or whatever.
Yeah. Because we all know how successful that fucking change.org petition to have them rewrite the final season was. Jesus.
Yeah, they need to do that.
People are fucking stupid. Like, people legitimately thought...
It's not like it was the most expensive season of television ever. No.
And people, like, legit thought that the, before they released the last episode, they, like, went in and put in that scene of John, like, petting ghosts to make people feel better. And Todd Vaziri was, like, all over that shit on Twitter.
They went in 2 weeks before...
It's like, oh my god.
Right.
People are fucking stupid.
Real quickly, then I read Revolution for Dummies, Laughing Through the Arab Spring with from Bassem Youssef.
Mm-hmm.
You know Bassem Youssef, I think, right?
Yes.
I've been talking about him. He's he got really popular during the Arab Spring in Egypt, and he's a satirist.
Mm-hmm.
My dogs are nuts again. Should I go and check that? No. Yeah. Are they done? They're done. And so Revolution for Dummies is a book in which he retells, basically, he was a heart surgeon before he became a satirist, which is fucking crazy. He basically tells, like, how he went from being apolitical to, like, actually, like, figuring out his voice, and that has a lot to do with the thing that is both good and bad about this book is that he talks about Jon Stewart a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jon Stewart, but he like loves Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's basically like, I just like said to myself after the success of those YouTube shows that I would create a show like Jon Stewart's, but in Egypt, and you know that had never happened in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a super interesting book. I would recommend that one. Next one is a little niche. The Disaster Artist.
I just fucking. Fuck.
What?
My banana just, like, fucking came on me. Do you remember the I can't remember the whole SEO title, but not the banana for scale, but the other one.
Banana for scale?
Yeah, the other one. The fucking banana with ball. Yeah, it just fucking came all over me. Like, I have sand, just...
Oh, no.
I called it.
You got a real banana.
I called it. I knew
Dylan's
this was gonna happen.
With his banana too.
Oh god, fucking! I can't finish without my banana cum. Jesus.
And your banana finished all over you. So yeah, the third one was really niche. The Disaster Artist. I don't know if you're familiar.
I saw the movie.
You did see the movie.
Yes.
Okay, so you know how crazy it is.
Yes.
Of basically the making of the greatest bad movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
And the book's not, I mean, Greg Sestero is not really a writer.
Mm-hmm.
The book comes out very conversational.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I wouldn't have, like, you're reading this book because you've A, watched the room, B, or B, watched the movie, or C, watched both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're coming to this knowing that, but if you were just coming to this as a standalone work, I don't know if I'd read that. But, I mean, it's pretty good, and I like how he gets into the life of Tommy Wiseau.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he kind of provides some explanation that the movie didn't have time to go into.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty good. And then the last one is I read the first book in the Witcher series.
Oh, nice.
It's a combination of short stories.
Mm-hmm.
Collection of short stories from Andrzej Sapkowski.
Something Polish.
Oh, yes. And if other people aren't familiar, The Witcher is this really badass fantasy series about this
Geralt of Rivia
that goes around and is basically a pest control.
Wow, that's a weird way to put
he
it.
He does pest control.
He grabs up some goddamn big raccoons and he's like, yeah. fuck a raccoon.
Yeah,
Geralt fucks a raccoon.
The thing I love, so it's called The Last Wish, and the thing I love about these stories is the world they paint is so effortless. Like, it's just very like, he doesn't some. Throwing shade again at Mr. R. Martin. Some fantasy writers will write a long history thing
mm-hmm.
for like, and go on for two pages about various like locations and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Sapkowski, that's his name, Sapkowski, basically just like mentions it offhand.
Why'd you do an Italian accent when Sapkowski? You said that? Sapkowski.
Sapkowski. Isn't that Russian?
Somebody touch my spaghetti.
Somebody touch my spaghetti. Sapkowski kind of writes in a way that you like. It's like understood. Like it's kind of in meter res. Like it's understood mm-hmm. that you either you're familiar with it or you're going to be familiar with this place, and this place will come alive based on the things that the characters do, rather than the things I'm telling you. I really like his writing, and I can see why they would base a whole video game series around it. I definitely, and it's really really nice to go to read that after Game of Thrones, because it's one character and offhand stories. It's mm-hmm. not like you're juggling like 12 stories at once.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are my books, and thanks for letting me do that, because. It's the most books I've read in a short amount of time, so I was proud of it.
Hell yeah. So, we both like things. We like things and stuff.
Like things? We like things.
We like, we like all sorts of things. And, you know, we've done a lot. Well, I've done a lot of... we've done some recommendations, you know, like, hey, go check out Two by Friday. It's a great podcast.
Yeah.
We dropped the link a few times. Give us your fucking money.com. I want to finally fucking drop a link of ours. So if you like this thing that we do, you can give us money. We actually have a Patreon, which we've had since I launched the podcast, but I never mentioned it before. Which,
I didn't even know until today that we have.
Yeah, my co-host didn't even fucking know we had this thing. It's patreon.com/EOW. And if you want to give us money for making this thing and you enjoy it, then that's a thing you can do. And I'd like it, because we're two broke millenniums and
two broke girls over here.
We like money, and you have money.
It's true.
You know, like, don't make this a one-directional relationship. Like, you know, like, reciprocate. Like, we love you. We love you enough to get together most every other Wednesdays. And, you know, just bring a little joy. Bring some special guests, you know.
Yep.
We've had everyone from, you know, MC Freeman to Dr. Don Schaffner. Hey, what more could you ask for? Griffin McElroy? Yeah. We'll try.
We'll get that boy someday.
I can't promise anything, but I can promise we'll try.
We
could have John Harding on again. Like, we'll do that for money. We'll do shit for money.
He's probably played through Sekiro like 3 times by now.
He probably has.
And then he probably has very good opinions on animes right now.
I only just beat Juzo the Drunkard. Like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
But
Patreon.
Yeah, Patreon. Fucking give us...
Patreon.com/EOW.
Pay us for doing this thing. We have 2 tiers. I'll let you know what the tiers get you. So tier 1 is supporter. If you pledge 5 or more dollars a month, so 5 or more dollars a month, you'll be a supporter, and you'll earn our undying gratitude, and we'll put your name on a wall of thanks on the podcast website, which is eow.fireside.fm, where you can also find the show notes. If you pledge $10 or more per episode, you will be a V-supportive friendo. With a pledge of $10 a month, you don't just get our undying gratitude and your name on our website. You'll also receive all the super special content we promise we're working on to justify this price. So yeah, if you wanna subscribe, we'll be coming up with some idea for how to thank you for that.
We'll probably be doing extended book club or something.
Yeah,
or
we're gonna
review or something like that.
Yeah, I think
we have ideas back there.
We got some stuff cooking. I will send you my cum-laden banana.
Not a title, but very good. We enjoy making this stuff for you guys. I don't know about you, Dylan, but this is a very it's a therapeutic endeavor that we've been on.
Neither of us have health insurance.
That's true.
This is the only chance we have.
Cheapest health insurance. I was gonna say this is, you know, the podcast is very simply on your feed on Wednesdays, every other Wednesday. But it does take a lot of time to put together these episodes and plan these episodes, and you know, Villainous Beats, man. He doesn't make beats for nothing, you know? You gotta support your local artists, and you know, it's, yeah. So that's all I'll say. I think we have gone through 23. This is our 23rd episode.
Yep.
And we're just gonna keep on going. We'll keep on chugging these, getting these out there to you. And hopefully you like them, and hopefully you like them enough to maybe hit that subscribe button, that ratings button, that write a rating, and
leave us a review. I see that we're up to 2 reviews on iTunes right now, which is hell yeah. Both of them are 5 stars.
Yeah, I think I looked up earlier that if you just type in every other Wednesday, I think you get our iTunes page, and yeah, it shows that we have 5 stars on iTunes.
Hell yeah.
So keep on doing that. I heard iTunes is going out of, like, gonna be out of the lexicon.
In a way.
That was our commercial.
So, yeah. Thanks for listening. Patreon.com/EOW. Anyway, so this past week, so this will be released the Wednesday after WWDC has ended.
Right.
We're recording this on a Sunday, so it just ended. WWDC, if you don't know, is the conference where developers from the wide world are gathered by Apple to learn more about basically software updates, things that developers for iOS, macOS, and now iPadOS are going to be able to use. And implement. There was this thing for a long time that was going by the name Marzipan. I'm trying to remember what they're calling it now, but it's Catalina, I believe. But it's basically a simplified way to bring iOS apps to the Mac. And so that's something I'm very excited to see. But I don't know why they stopped calling it Marzipan, because I think that's just such a great name.
Marzipan.
Yeah. And so there were like so many fantastic announcements. Like iOS is good. iOS 13 looks amazing. I haven't gotten the the developer beta installed on my phone yet, because I'm kind of nervous, because like every year they say, hey, you know, don't if you're worried about breaking your phone, don't download this. But this year they were like, hey, I know we say this every year, but like super serious this year. Like if this is your only phone, if you don't have a test unit, don't download the beta yet. Wait for the public beta release. It's coming. Just let it come. So I haven't downloaded any of the betas, but I'm very excited to see the new software. I'm very excited for iPadOS. A couple of things are going to be coming to iPad, because the new iPad Pro, which is increasingly, since I got the Bridge Pro, the keyboard from Bridge Tech, it's becoming the computer I use most often. I use it more than my laptop. I use it more than the iMac, which I mainly only use to record podcasts anymore. But for the Safari app, there's going to be a download manager for iPadOS. So something I literally wasn't able to do like a month ago, because I was going to work on something for the podcast while I was at my actual job. But I couldn't download from Google Drive because Safari didn't have a way to download files that weren't from iTunes. But now they will be able to. They're also improving file management. They're also allowing you to use external storage. So you can link a USB-C supported like thumb drive to it, and you can have information on the thumb drive. I'm very excited about that, because that's going to just like make things so much easier for me to do and make the iPad Pro something closer to my main computer, because I kind of have a goal of just one day being Federico Vitici and like living my whole life around like one computer being the iPad.
Environments of your desktop here is your desktop there, and your mm-hmm. personalized folders.
Oh, and that's another thing that you can do. iOS 13 or iPad OS 13, which is, it's still iOS, but it's improved for the iPad. But they're going to have this thing called Sidecar, where you can use your iPad as a second display for your Mac, which was already something that had been solved like hardware-wise by a company called Luna Display. They're not a sponsor, but I've heard a lot of really great reviews of what they do and what their product does from a lot of the people I look up to on the Apple Nerd Tech side of my podcast listening, which accounts for the majority of my listening, as you can probably tell, because I sound very much on right now, as opposed to when we were talking about video games at the start. What else?
You can very much tell that I'm very talkative about technology.
So finally, this is the last bit. So people are fucking stupid about the Pro Display XDR, and I'm going to tell them how stupid they are to their fucking stupid faces. So,
behind the internet.
People say, why are you charging $5,000 for a monitor? Motherfucker, this isn't your standard Dell desktop monitor. This is of the same class as a video reference monitor, otherwise known as a broadcast reference monitor or just a reference monitor. It's something that production houses and animation houses and newsrooms use to basically ensure that the video that they're using unmolested before they like add any effects to it or anything like that, just like ensuring it's quality control. And so this display is in the same class as reference monitors that cost upwards of $35,000.
Right, and one of those industry tools that normal people or even people in production won't be buying, they'll be renting.
Yeah, they rent it typically for the amount of time that they need to use it. And so the other thing, now this, I feel like this kind of falls on Apple because they announced the bit about the stand in a weird way.
And that was a meme. That is a meme.
So the stand will cost $1,000. Now, the majority of production houses and people who will have a need to buy or have interest in buying the Pro Display XDR for a reference monitor, they already have either Visa mounts or essentially mounts or stands or a place where they can insert the display, and but they don't need a stand. So do what?
Would it be compatible with the Pro Display XDR?
Yes. So
if you already have a reference monitor, mm-hmm. then just switch out your monitor.
Exactly. And so the where was I? The fucking but yeah, TLDR, people are fucking stupid, and I think Apple should have announced instead of whatchamacallit, instead of saying that the stand costs $1,000, I would put the price of the the display as $599, and if you get it without a stand because you already have a stand, you get $1,000 off. That's how I would have done it, but I don't know. I don't work at Apple, obviously.
Yeah, it would have sounded better. I mean, tech companies, like, especially in those situations, they still have trouble marketing to the general public because they're just so in their own space, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You talk about, they've probably been talking about this display for at least a year and a half now, 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, once you get into your own space and then you're writing the script together, like you, I mean, I'm sure they had people take passes at it and, from the outside before they went and did it, but like still there's a lot of marketing in technology that, you know, it just sometimes is not super communicative to the general public. They don't communicate things well. Like that was the whole like Xbox One crisis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like to bring it back to something that I know about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there was the E3 press conference where they talked about Always On being a like huge feature that everybody wants, and instead of like giving us like actual reasons why we'd want it and also telling us about TV and music and stuff like that, you know, instead of giving us reasons and then also doing those things, mm-hmm. they kind of sold us this device. It's like, oh yeah, is Microsoft just going to be listening to like my like thing and just like be always on and downloading things I don't want downloaded? And
yeah,
like, you know, like what does that say about? And still, Always On, like, and we we are in a future where always on is a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, people will want their devices always on so that it can update and you don't have to wait for updates. Like, that's a thing now. And it's more digestible for people when you justify it, the cost, the time saving for them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you just say, oh, it's going to be always on because that's the way of the future, I don't really have a context for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what that reminded me of, is that, you know, people just, you know, slip up on how you should market it to the regular consumer.
Mm-hmm.
Should we wrap up here?
Yeah, I think this is a good place to wrap.
It's a good long one.
Yeah, it was. Let's see here. So, before we get to plugs, I do want to say... I do appreciate you guys, your continued listening. It means a lot. It means a lot to see the growth that we've been having as far as our listener base goes, and like going through on Fireside, like looking at the metrics, it's buck wild to be able to see the drop down where it's like, oh, we have 2 listeners in Australia. We now have one listener. In Tokyo. Hi to our one listener from Tokyo. We appreciate you and we love you and we love all our listeners. So if you want to be more engaged with us, obviously you we're gonna tell you where you can find us on the internet. If you want to communicate with us, you can come at us in our Menchies on Twitter. And you can also use the hashtag EOWpod if you have a question or want to have us do something or an idea for a challenge, something like that for the show.
Want to sound off on some of the issues that we talked about today.
Yeah.
Or on any other show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, awesome. Plugs.
Let's saw a thing that said that Keanu Reeves is going to be in Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that on the tweets.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
For everybody else, the Microsoft press conference is still on, I think, mm-hmm. or had been going on while we've been talking. Plugs. You can find me on the internet at devinnava.com. I have not posted in a while. I've been a little busy. But, yeah, you can find my blog stuff there. I tweet about talk about the show on there and link up the show. You can also find me on twitter.com at devinnava. Where can they find you, Dylan?
You can find me at my website, which is dylanbickers.com. I actually just recently published a short article about why the people who are bitching about the pro display XDR are stupid. On there, which I will link in the show notes. You can also find me on Twitter at Dylan Bickers. And if you want to see show notes for this episode, you can go to www. Oh, wait, no, there's no www. It's just EOW. That's E as in every, O as in octopus, W as in whiskey, .fireside.fm/23.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. And if you like what you hear, the intro and the outro and maybe the interstitials, depending on where I cut this episode and edited it, that's all courtesy of Villainous Beats. So you can check him out at soundcloud.com/villainousbeats.
All right, that's our
plugs.
It's another one in the books.
Another one in the books. 23 shows. That amounts to 46 weeks. Man.
So there was, I just saw this tweet by Anita Sarkeesian of Feminist Frequency Radio, criticize the media you love, which is great. So final count of presenters at hashtag Microsoft E3 with the Scarlett video speakers, 16 men and 9 women. Uh-huh. Without the video, 7 men, 2 women.
Woo! Damn.
Way to go with the gatekeeping, Microsoft and...
Shit. Is that the thing to end on?
That's the thing to end on.
VLT. Every Other Wednesday.